Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Deadpool.
I'm Wolverine.
Nice claws there.
Thanks.
All right, this is Close Up with Ryan and Joe, and today we're going to be talking about Deadpool and Wolverine. Pardon the language, but let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
All right. Full spoilers ahead for this discussion. Just warning you who still don't know the drill by now. But let's zoom in from our close-up to our medium shot now. And what was your hype like going into Deadpool and Wolverine?
My hype at like the very beginning when the first teaser dropped back around the Super Bowl in February. I was like, okay, I'm getting more and more excited with each iteration of like promotion that comes out. But I was been so low on Marvel lately that like I just stopped caring. And then the full trailer came out. Loved it. And then the final trailer came out like 2 weeks ago or a week ago and like spoiled a cameo, and I wasn't happy about that. But after watching that final trailer, I stayed off of social media. I didn't look to see anything. So thankfully, no huge cameos got spoiled for me or big plot events or whatever. So I'm glad that happened. It did get spoiled for some of my buddies that I went and saw the movie with. But overall, I was slowly leading up more and more towards getting more hyped. Because I don't know if it was the same at your theater, but when we went, almost the entire theater was like made over to promote the Deadpool Wolverine movie. Wow. It was crazy. Like the steps at Scotiabank Theater were changed to red and yellow. They had the best friend necklaces dangling from the building, like a giant one. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I got pretty hyped as the days were leading up to it, and then I watched it, as you do after you get hyped up for watching a movie.
And the hype completely drained out of your body. What a complete letdown. Right?
Oh, my God. It's like Multiverse of Madness all over again, or Quantumania. No, absolutely not.
Just miss after miss after miss. No, this movie's great.
No, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
It's not going to save the MCU like people are talking about, because it's really got nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what people are talking about. It's got nothing to do with the MCU.
It's got nothing. This is a love letter to the Fox universe, to all the heroes that didn't make it. The entire plot, in a metatextual sense, is these heroes from a dying universe thrown to the end of the universe for basically all the garbage, all the worst characters and things, and just basically all the universe is junk that gets tossed out. It's worthless, no good anymore. And these heroes who are stuck in here are like, well, we still think we matter, so let's try to save our universe, even though nobody really cares but us anymore. And it's basically just the Fox characters from their movies in the last 20 years being like, okay, I know that universe is dead, but give us one more movie just to remind you why we were kind of cool in the first place. If you really think about it, these are the characters that kicked off the superhero renaissance of the early 2000s, which I know we're ripping off the Band-Aid early, but I'd say the first real modern superhero movie was probably Blade, 1998.
Yeah.
And then quickly following on its heels was the original X-Men in 2000 and that whole trilogy. We're not going to count the Sam Raimi Spider-Man and all that, but that because that was Sony. Sony got its nostalgia trip with Far From Home. But yeah, this is for the Fox. Time. But in the early 2000s, we also had, you know, Daredevil, Elektra, Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider was a separate thing, I guess. Fantastic Four. Fox had a good run in its day. Most of them were misses at the time, to be fair. But it was a unique time in superhero cinema, which I'm nostalgic because I lived through it without the taste to see that those movies were below average at the time. I haven't really rewatched them for the last 15 years. But this movie makes me want to revisit those classic superhero adventures. If only to say, well, okay, yeah. Well, at least they got an ending.
Yeah, it's funny because I never really thought that this would be a love letter to the Fox universe. Honestly, my expectation would be it'd be quite the opposite. It'd be like a shut on Fox type of thing. We're done with you now since you got bought out by Disney. And it kind of started out that way, but then became a love letter, especially with stuff that happens in the credits that we'll talk about later. I sort of teared up at, and a couple people I was with actually cried as well. But yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I never expected to see that in this movie, which is kind of funny because I never watched like the bad Fox ones because I've just heard that they were bad and I stayed away from them. But they're so ingrained into like my, like our generation's pop culture and all that, that like I knew about them and I knew all the good parts, I guess.
Right.
But there was some shot, there were some like cameos where I was just like, no fucking way. Like I could not believe it. And I think it was because I stayed away from social media. So I didn't even look at theories. I usually look at theories a lot when I get hyped up into a movie, but I just went into this like completely blank space. So I was like, how the fuck is, how do they get the money like to pay this guy to come back?
See, I think when it comes to that, you're completely right with your assertion you just had beforehand that we've all been in a low spot with Marvel the last couple years. So this is a movie that actually delighted me because my expectations were admittedly decently high for the movie itself, because I expect this to be more of a Ryan Reynolds vehicle than a Marvel Cinematic Universe venture right from the start. I knew he's a very heavy producer. He feels very strongly about the Deadpool character. Kevin Feige was on record as saying, oh yeah, you know, we didn't get too much into his business. We just kind of let him do his own thing. So I had confidence in Ryan Reynolds to deliver a good Deadpool movie at the very least. But because it was connected to the MCU, which as I've said, we've been down on lately, I haven't really been following superhero rumors and the theory machine and all that stuff that I used to be really into 10 years ago. If this came out 10 years ago, I probably would have been spoiled on the entire thing before I even got there, just by random headlines in the feed. Like, oh, well, so-and-so's probably going to show up. Well, you didn't say they showed up, but when I saw the movie, they showed up, so it was already in my mind. Oops. This, I had no idea what they were going to do. Personally, I was expecting more actual X-Men cameos, which I'll just rip off the bandage. That's my most disappointing thing about this movie, is that we didn't get more of the original X-Men or even the first class era X-Men. It was a good joke when they were trying to find out a way to defeat Cassandra Nova, and Deadpool's first reaction is, oh, is Magneto still alive? No, he's dead. Fuck! This is where they dropped the budget? Okay, but is his helmet still around at least? No, she melted that down. Fuck! Okay.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed because I honestly thought, I thought that's what the big cameos that all the rumors were talking about was, like, a Ian McKellen, Magneto, and then, like, maybe a James McAvoy, Charles Xavier. Yeah. Or just all four of them together, because that would be insane. But for the people that they got, I think, you know, it's pretty awesome. Wish there was bigger cameos than that, like, gigantic ones? Yes, but the ones they got were, like, mind-boggling.
Well, I've seen a couple theories on why that is, and I'll share those here. Some people think that they're saving the cast of the original X-Men for something else in the MCU, maybe a future project. Maybe they'll be introduced in the Avengers movie.
Like Secret Wars?
Or Secret Wars or something, because we never... People expected Deadpool and Wolverine to be the explanation for how mutants end up in the MCU, to integrate the X-Men pretty seamlessly, which Deadpool and Wolverine absolutely does not do. It's a glorified bookend to the Fox era of the X-Men franchise, and really the Fox era of superhero movies in general. That's why we have all those other cameos non-X-Men related. It's kind of the what could have been. In my mind, this is basically, what if Fox had jumped on the Avengers bandwagon and done an Avengers movie before the Avengers with what they had in mind? This is the dream fulfillment wish team of Deadpool, Wolverine, X-23, Blade, Gambit, Elektra, and the Human Torch. We get all these characters in a team-up movie against Professor Xavier's twin sister, Cassandra Nova, and the TVA is just mind-boggling. And I'm like, wow, this is the Fox universe that could have been if they had more foresight and knew how to take these disparate elements. I mean, hell, we could have even had a Daredevil in there, but I mean, obviously they couldn't get Ben Affleck to sign up, or they just didn't ask him. They killed him off screen, which was a funny joke when Jennifer Gardner's like, well,
I think they did ask him, and then he was like, oh, I have to be on screen with my ex-wife? Probably not. I think my new ex-wife would be upset. Would probably not be happy with that.
It was a funny joke, though, when Jennifer Gardner's like, oh, he's dead. I'm not upset about that, though.
Yeah.
I was also surprised that Ryan Reynolds made a joke at the expense of Hugh Jackman's divorce, too.
Oh, my God. I had to explain that to my one work friend, because she's kind of younger. Or right. Not kind of. She's a lot younger. She's not up on it. But, like, I heard that divorce joke, and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I knew there'd be a divorce joke, but I was like, I did not expect it to hit that hard. I don't know why, but, yeah, it's... That was insane.
It was a blink and you'll miss it joke, because this movie's a million jokes a minute. But that's the kind of joke only a best friend can throw in their movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. And I'm sure, like... No, I'm just speculating. I'm sure, like, Hugh and his ex-wife have mutual respect for each other. Like, they both have kids or whatever. But I bet she didn't sign off on it either. So,
no.
Who knows what would happen.
I mean, they were married for such a long time, decades. Yeah. So I hope there's still some mutual respect there, but still a sad situation for him. Speaking of,
for sure,
spouses, Blake Lively apparently was Lady Deadpool.
Yes. Now I'm wondering if it was actually her in the suit, or probably. If it was like a state, it probably was, because why wouldn't you want to do that? I wish we got like a face reveal. So like him and her and Ryan Reynolds could like have like a actual like face to face chat. But it was still fun to see her as Lady Deadpool.
And apparently Matthew McConaughey was the cowboy Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And yep, Nathan Fillion was Headpool, the zombie one with the propeller.
Yeah, that I did not know. That was great. Yeah, we were watching the credits roll and saw all the names pop up to make sure they were who they were. But yeah.
Let's get into the movie itself. Now, we were talking about more the film in a macro sense, which we'll definitely go back to. But let's start at the very beginning. That opening title sequence with the opening credits, I was hooked instantly from scene one.
Yeah, I instantly turned off all my critical goggles as soon as that opening happened. Just, yeah, I don't know what it is, because like maybe because like I'm like I low key like NSYNC, like on a like microscopic level, but yeah, it works so perfectly. Just like Deadpool using the whittled corpse of Logan from the movie Logan. To beat up a bunch of TVA agents to the soundtrack of Bye 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 is so perfect and funny that I can't explain without telling you to go see it. Like, it is probably one of the best openings
I've ever
seen. Probably on par with the opening with Deadpool, like the first Deadpool movie. Maybe I just have like
currency
bias, but
yeah, recency bias. Yeah,
I really like this opening a lot.
For me, it was the setup of it. It was the movie cuts in from the Marvel Studios logo, and he starts singing along to the logo immediately, and he's like, well, you know, there was corporate mergers. I didn't know if I'd ever be back. And then there's the whole Logan situation to deal with, and you're probably wondering, how are we going to respect that ending? We're not. And then it immediately cuts to him kicking over the X grave sign and digging up Logan's grave. Beautiful opening immediately. Just like, okay, this is the movie we're in for. He's immediately metaphorically and literally resurrecting the ghost of Wolverine for whatever Deadpool needs him to be in this moment. And I also love his shock and awe when that Wolverine's actually just dead. He did have me for half a second with his monologue of, that's not how healing factors work. He's 100% still alive. And then it cuts to him with the adamantium corpse. And he's very upset by that.
It's very good, yeah. Yeah, and this movie's such, it's just so fun. Like, that's how I describe it. Is the story a little messy? Yes. Is somewhat like the plot stuff don't make sense? Maybe. But it's so much fun. It's just a great time to watch. And they know, like, they know what they're doing, too. There's one joke in it, too, where they're getting to the third act, and it's, like, almost the final battle. And Deadpool looks in the camera and goes, home stretch, folks. Just hold on. I was like, because I was kind of feeling the runtime, like, the tiniest bit. But I was still having so much fun watching it. My favorite movie of the year so far.
My problem with that ending, and I think they knew this too, which is why they made the joke, but you have that entire personally incredible fight with the Deadpool core. It's a pretty long sequence. Big action, great spectacle. Oh, crap. And now we have to go and fight Cassandra Nova and stop whatever her plan is. It was basically a really long detour that had the energy of a third act climax. And then we have to watch them beat the actual villain. It just kind of made the last bit with the Deadpool core feel like, okay, if you took out this whole bit, the only thing you're really missing is the payoff for them meeting Nicepool and referencing the Deadpool core. None of that stuff needed to be in this movie. It's a perfectly fun sequence, but it's there for fun factor. Like if I was the one making this movie, that subplot would probably be cut out for pacing, because it really added nothing other than, oh wow, that's cool. But then again, that's mostly what this movie is. It's just, wow, that's cool. Because like you said, the plot, that's my biggest gripe with the movie, is probably the plot. Multiple points in this movie, I kind of got out of my fanboying goggles and I was taking a look at what I was seeing, and I'm like, what are we doing again? what MacGuffin are we going to try and find, and what's the plan again, and why do these characters trying to do this, and what are Deadpool and Wolverine's motivations again? What are we doing here? Oh, I don't care. It's fun. I figured it out in the most basic. They're trying to save the world, and they're going after. I don't care. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you start to think about it, you're immediately caught off guard just by another fun scene. Like, I don't think any scene really drags, except for, like, the end, like, the tiniest bit. But other than that, like, you're just met with more and more great scenes, well-acted. The fight scenes are amazing.
Definitely.
Besides, like, it was weird. Like, not the final battle, but the pre-final battle, where they're trying to get Cassandra to send them to... back to the universe. That was the one I was like, This feels very shaky cammy, and I don't like that. And I'm very against shaky cam. But maybe it's because I was very close to the theater. But other than that, it was still fun to see certain characters be on screen and show, you know, their, you know, their, give them the limelight finally after being away for so long or not there at all. But
yeah, I want to talk about that briefly because. To me, that's one of the nicest things in this movie. It shows some real class on Ryan Reynolds' part that he asked somebody like Channing Tatum to come in. He never got to be Gambit, but anyone who followed superhero movie news knows that this guy has been trying to get a Gambit movie off the ground for the better part of a decade. And then there came a certain point where we as a society all just collectively knew that wasn't gonna happen. I always felt so bad for him because he clearly had so much passion for this character and really wanted to make this movie happen, despite me not being very interested in the Gambit character or even Channing Tatum. I respected his passion for it, and I was very happy to see him get a chance, and even happier to see that he did very well in the role. I think he, for what little I know of Gambit, he played it very well.
That awoke such like a fact in my brain because I remember that time of him getting cast as it locked he was gonna be Gambit, but then the movie just was in production hell forever, and then seeing him on screen, it just unlocked something in my brain where I was like, holy fuck, like not only is this awesome, but it's actually like so funny, like if you knew. And I had to explain it to a couple people after the movie.
It was a whole thing.
Well, it was a whole thing, but they loved it because they loved Gambit. Yeah. So, and I explained, like, do you know why this is, like, really funny? And then I explained the Channing Tatum thing, and they're like, that's actually hilarious. But, yeah, it was unbelievable. And the Gambit stuff looked phenomenal. I mean,
fantastic.
It all looked great. Or I'm just going to talk about the other cameos. Blade? What the fuck? how do they convince Wesley Snipes to come out of retirement to do that? That's amazing.
People pointed this out after the fact, and I didn't even acknowledge it at the time because I haven't seen the Blade movies. It's one of the few superhero
I have not seen Blade sections. Either.
I need to see Blade, but I completely forgot, even just in a factual sense, that Ryan Reynolds was a big part of the third Blade movie.
Yeah.
So they have worked together before.
I heard in a Marvel project they like barely worked together because I think a lot of his scenes. I haven't seen the third one, but apparently he worked a lot more of a stand-in than Wesley Snipes because this was like around the time Ryan Reynolds was high in the comedy scene, and so maybe he like annoyed him. These are all rumors.
Well,
and speculations.
Okay. What I've heard about that was Wesley Snipes at the time thought that Blade 3 was pushing Ryan Reynolds' character and another main character too hard. He felt like he was being relegated to supporting cast to set Ryan Reynolds up for a spinoff movie. So it wasn't even necessarily anything against Ryan Reynolds, just he felt sidelined in his own Blade movie. And there was some bitterness because of that for a while, but then the franchise flopped and... See, it's things like that I also consciously have to remind myself because there's certain scenes like when Deadpool and Wolverine fought each other for the first time. I'm like, wow, this is so cool to see. Hold up a minute. We've already seen this 15 years ago. I've seen Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds fight as Deadpool and Wolverine before. Why did I forget that? Oh, right, because it was X-Men Origins. This movie is like the best apology I've ever seen for X-Men Origins because it was finally, after 15 years, we're bringing you guys back on screen together again, but as accurate as we can make it. It just feels like it's a perfect redemption story. It took a long time, but it's one of those things that tells me, you know what? Hollywood executives suck. And they make a lot of crappy decisions that hurt me as a fan of things I love. But sometimes things can be fixed and people can redeem themselves, and you can give me the bones of what was great and do it right. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman were never the problem. It was the movie they were in, and they got a chance to do it right. They took what worked and expanded upon it, and it's just so heartwarming to see. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I loved their chemistry together. It was,
yep.
It was somehow better than I thought it would be, because we've seen promotions since like 2020, like when this movie was announced they were making it, and their chemistry for the past like 10 years, just like in interviews and just talking to each other online and such. But somehow it was like even way better than I ever thought it could be. The fight scenes were great. I think their first fight scene was pretty good, but a lot of it was like kind of used for the promotion. So a lot of the big moments were taken away.
The except one in the car, though.
Wolverine crawling, like the, or his, not his crawling, but him like jumping towards him. Never saw that coming. Yeah. Thought that was great. The car fight. I love the car fight.
That was
I think that one's the best fight
in the whole movie.
I think that's the best fight in this movie. Yeah.
It's a deer, I want. Great soundtrack too.
And then you hear a little bit of The Greatest Showman in there when he's hitting his head on the radio. So funny. I knew there'd be a Greatest Showman joke. I just knew it was going to happen.
Of course.
But yeah, that car fight scene was great.
It was a great scene in general, though, because that was the scene where Wolverine finally confronts Deadpool for never shutting up, more to the point, straight up lying. It wasn't a lie. It was an educated wish. And he's like, what is that bullshit? And he just lays into him about just all the worst thoughts, cutting to Wade's core about how useless and worthless he feels already. And Wolverine managed to shut the merc with the mouth up. And then Wade just, I'm going to fight you now. And Wolverine's just ready to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I love particularly that scene because that was the scene that made me be like, I was like, whoa, Hugh Jackman could get an Oscar nod for this. He won't, but he could. Like,
it was a great scene.
It was weird because his performance as this version's Wolverine, I mean, he's great in every Wolverine movie. He's never bad in any of it, but it was like so much anger and like you could feel the pain throughout his character throughout the entire movie, but that scene alone was really, really good. Yeah. And it was that car scene, that particular car scene, the dialogue before it and the fight scene where I was like, I'm not watching, like I'm just watching the characters at this point.
Yeah.
Like I fully believe it's them. I no longer see Ryan Reynolds or Hugh Jackman. I just see Deadpool and Wolverine.
It's a very immersive movie, and that goes to the point I was saying before where I stopped caring about the plot. I was just immersed in these characters and their banter and the nostalgia of seeing the other Fox characters back, which I appreciate. They weren't just in and out. They actually had meaningful things to contribute to the story. That was...
Yeah.
That's an important part of it. It wasn't gratuitous. They were all there for a reason, except maybe Sabretooth. That was a bit gratuitous, but it was still funny. Like, hold on. Yeah. We've been waiting for this fight for 20 years. And then he just decapitates him. Oh,
well, okay. That's a funny one, too, because that scene before the decapitation was all over the internet. Like, they did, like, a TV spot for that. So they even hyped it up even more, and then it was just...
That's good.
Let's cut his head off. I was like, yeah. I guess we don't have the time for a Wolverine and Sabretooth fight, I guess.
Yeah. And now I want to talk about the one that really got me, which was the triple fakeout. So it's a perfect setup. They finish their fight in the end of the universe, into the void, and they're looking for anything that can possibly help them. And then they see this figure up on a balcony looking down at them. And then you see this hand with all these ropes tied around it. And I feel like a lot of people miss this aspect of it, and maybe that's not even what they were going for, but Wade Wilson starts talking about how, like, oh man, this is the one guy that can help us. Like, the fans, like, people think I'm Marvel Jesus, and, like, this is what the fans think. You know, like, the fans go crazy for this guy. And I'm like, this is Daredevil, right? They're, like, he's, like, nobody else has the ropes on their hands like that. And I know I'm living proof Daredevil fans go crazy for Daredevil. So this maybe is Deadpool deep referencing that aspect of the fandom. That maybe isn't his mainstream. I'm like, is this a joke just for me? And then they show Chris Evans. And then that was the second reveal. I'm like, okay, so you set my expectations one way. Oh, twist. It's Chris Evans. Holy crap. Chris Evans, Captain America, is back, man. Whoa. This is... Whoa. I never thought this would happen. And this is the day after I heard Robert Downey Jr. is coming back as Doctor Doom. So I'm like, wow, they managed to keep this Chris Evans cameo under wraps. That's nuts. And then all the bad guys come in and he's being super inspiring. He does the superhero landing. And then the bad guys are ramping up and Chris Evans is ramping up. And then Deadpool's walking around him. Oh, he's going to say the line. He's going to say the line. I'm like, yeah, he is. It's going to be so cool. Flame on! What? What? And that was the third twist.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And it's literal chills. Like, yeah, it's funny because, like, oh, I immediately thought it was Captain America too. And because you just forget that he also did Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four.
Perfect twist.
Amazing twist. And I thought, and it was probably due to time and budget, but, like, ooh. Human Torch and Pyro fight. What would that look like? Now he just sucks all the fire out. I'm like, oh, yeah. That makes sense.
I didn't even care. My mind was still reeling from the triple twist. I'm like, ooh, Daredevil. Ooh, Captain America. Ooh, Human Torch.
Immediately, the whole Void thing, and then... well, not even the Void thing, but just Deadpool's montage of seeing the other Wolverines before getting to the one we get to. I was already like, this is instantly a better multiverse movie than when they hyped up Multiverse of Madness, when they only went to, like, four dimensions and met with, like, five characters. 100%. Well, if here we get entire montages of it and different
comic accurate Wolverine.
Oh my god, yeah. It's just, this is what I wanted Multiverse of Madness to be, was this movie. Just it being crazy and all these different, you know, very sometimes niche references, but yeah, it was great. Yeah, the Human Torch completely threw me. Like, just absolutely shell-shocked me.
Yeah. Literal chills.
Especially with the new, knowing with, like, the new Fantastic Four movie coming out, too.
Yeah.
It was just such a love letter to the Fox universe. And I can't believe, I honestly thought they might do more Fantastic Four, like, past actors, but I don't know if they called them and didn't want to do it, or... I kind of wish they did, but...
I think the Chris Evans one was the most brilliant one you could do, though. Because anyone else shows up... that's just a cameo. Chris Evans shows up, you played with our minds with that one. Because most people watching this movie, they aren't thinking about... They haven't done enough cameos that you're thinking about cameos yet. Only cameo we got before that was Chris Hemsworth, which was pretty subtle, and not a lot of people are talking about that one.
Yeah, it's not, like, it's weird because it looks like they just did, like, a whole body replacement on the Dark World Thor, but I think it was, like, they just actually filmed with him, probably.
I think so. Why is Thor crying?
Too clean.
Yeah. I just love that running joke throughout the... Why is Thor crying over me?
Yeah. I love when he wakes up from a nightmare and just goes, Thor! And this whole time you think he's going to meet Thor at the end, but he never does.
No. So now I'm hoping that's a setup for Secret Wars or something.
Yeah.
I hope that pays off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he gets Johnny Storm killed.
Well, there's also Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
That was the shocker.
That blew my mind too. I'm like, why are they being extra coy about this Wolverine? His back is turned. He's chomping on a cigar. He's working on a motorbike.
His back is gigantic. I was like, this is a huge Wolverine.
even his muscles, I'm like, are those Hugh Jackman's muscles? I didn't think he was even, he was that huge. And then it's Henry Cavill. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was insane. It was funny when he punches him into the TVA portal. It's like almost a Superman punch as well, because it was that strong. But yeah. Yeah, very funny.
It's perfect. To me, the best payoff of the Johnny Storm thing was he gets Johnny Storm killed, and then Wolverine's blaming him for Johnny's death the entire movie. And he's like, that wasn't my fault. But I 100% believe that Wade just got him killed. And did you stay for the post-credit scene?
I did.
One of my all-time favorite post-credit scenes. It's probably like top three now. Just seeing Chris Evans go on that rant.
It was perfect. So good.
Great acting moment there.
The Deadpool's like, I rest my fucking case. Like, I rest my case. It was beautiful, really ending.
Personally, Chris Evans is the cameo king of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I can think of three immediately that are top tier. The first one was in Thor: The Dark World.
Thor.
When Loki's, it was either Thor or Thor: The Dark World. I think it was the second one. When Dark Loki, World, when Loki goes behind a pillar and comes out as Captain America and does an impression, like, oh, that's funny. And then in Spider-Man Homecoming, when he shows up on the PSA ads, and also the post-credit scene. Today we're going to talk about.
Have you seen the bloopers of him doing that?
Yes, I think I've seen a lot of those.
There's one where he does like a line. It was like, "What you need is like a full lunch," and they just burst out laughing. Like how dumb it is. How dumb he's talking. It's so good.
Yeah, and then there's this one. So between Captain America cameos and in this movie, Chris Evans wins for cameos in the MCU. He's had all the best ones. And two of the best post-credit scenes. The first time I saw that Homecoming one, I couldn't stop laughing. That was perfect, and so is this one.
Yeah, he even does like cameos in non-MCU stuff. He had one in Free Guy. And that was pretty funny.
When he uses the Captain America shield and Chris Evans is watching it.
Yeah.
He's like, what is this?
Well, that movie's pretty funny too, because that was supposed to come out around 2019 or 2020. And then COVID happened. So it got delayed for so long. Because I remember seeing the trailer back in 2019. And then the Fox-Disney merger happened. Or sorry, acquisition. Not merger. So then they got chance to do like the lightsaber and then the Captain America shield. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to this movie, which I love. We kind of like barely touched on it, but I think Hugh Jackman did a phenomenal job. I think his acting was an S tier in this movie and carried it, but got me to connect with the character so much, even though like
we've seen him for 25 understand. Years.
Yeah, like we don't like they kind of explain what happened, like why he is that version of Wolverine. I guess that's one gripe I have with this movie, is that there's a lot of exposition on why characters are the way they are. It's a lot of them telling, not showing. But
good point.
Show everything. What I thought was going to happen was what they did, which is what Old Man Logan is in the comics, is like his mind got fucked up by a villain and then he killed all the X-Men. I thought that's what they were going for. But it turns out he just walked away at like the worst time and then all the X-Men got killed. So he blamed himself and they just killed a bunch of humans. So that was like what I thought was going to happen.
Which I've seen people complain about, oh, how did a bunch of humans just kill the X-Men? I don't really care. Like that's what they went with. Yeah. I don't really care about that aspect of it. I'm like, okay, I see the story you're going for and it's fine. It'd probably be more impactful if it was the Old Man Logan story and he's the one who did it. I'm just like, but why do you all hate Wolverine that much then? He walked away. He killed some innocents. which is bad. He's definitely full-on anti-hero at this point, maybe even villainous in the eyes of some people. But he did have that one line where he badmouthed the Avengers, which implies to me the Avengers are a thing in his universe too. So people are like, oh, this Wolverine let down his entire world. But I'm also like, okay, but you also implied that there's other heroes in this world. It's not just the X-Men. He's like the one irredeemable hero, but the world isn't completely screwed, right? Like where was that hyperbole from?
Yeah, that part was like a little confusing. I just kind of let it be. So if you're going in this movie, if you're going to any Deadpool movie thinking that the plot is going to be like super tight and like everything makes sense, then you're in for a wild trip, because it's mostly just about fun.
The first one's pretty tight.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of the critiques that I've been hearing about the story.
But also I don't care.
I mean, it just
this time.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's one of the few movies I can say that. And I think part of my thing when I watch movies is I will give you serious critiques if you ask me to take the movie seriously. This movie isn't doing that. This movie is just trying to be good entertainment.
Right.
And it is. It's great entertainment. I had a blast the entire way through. The acting is exceptional. I mean, you're calling out Hugh Jackman. I gotta give credit to Ryan Reynolds, who, despite not showing his face for 70% of the movie, is the star of it. You know, that's a very hard thing to do, and he makes it look effortless. The acting's great, the effects are great, the action's great, the jokes are consistent. I mean, there's a lot that get a more muted response from the audience, but most of them were pretty funny, even if it wasn't laugh out loud funny.
Did you get any cheers in your theater?
People in my area are pretty muted when they watch movies, but I definitely heard some muted reactions. I do remember one that got some reactions was when the one guy was like, "Oh man, Wolverine was the only worthwhile thing to ever come out of Canada. Keep my country's name out of your fucking mouth."
That was what I was referring to. That got a big cheer in my theater when that happened. And then, of course, when Wolverine, like, they're doing the final fight, and then you hear, like, a prayer come on. And then, well, that was in the trailer, but it's still hype. And then he goes to put on his mask.
The mask,
instantly, everybody just geeked out. Was like, ah!
I definitely felt energy.
Critical Brain goes like, he had the mask the whole time, but I've seen the back of his costume. It wasn't there. But you don't care. He's putting on the mask. Just shut up.
Yeah, though those moments definitely got some reaction. The mask was a beautiful moment, too. He puts it on and then goes full berserker mode against all the Deadpools. He's waiting the whole movie for this.
The suit looks really good. I was watching like promotional videos for it. Like they, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman did an episode of Hot Ones. And Hugh Jackman talked about how this movie, the Deadpool suit, it was either one of them. I can't remember which one specifically, but this Deadpool suit and this Wolverine suit is, in their opinion, the best that's ever come from comic to screen.
Yeah,
and I kind of have to agree. I really like this version of the Deadpool suit because of how red it is. Like, I appreciate the other ones in the first Deadpool movie. It's way more muted, but this one, like, I really love the color of it.
Well, yeah, I think the reason, though,
and the Wolverine one, I think, is great.
Yeah, I think the reason, though, is the first two Deadpools, despite being very heightened movies, we're still in that Fox universe, and Fox, even from the very first X-Men movie, had this pretension about being a little grounded. So even though it's a crazy event, the muted color was like, ooh, he's still a badass mercenary guy killing people. Whereas a lot of the theme of this movie is like, why are you wearing the yellow suit like you're not embarrassed to be in a superhero movie for the first time? Which I think was an actual line. But
yeah,
that's basically the idea is, oh, we're not embarrassed to be a superhero movie for the first time. Let's just go crazy. Let's have, you know, the first scene, we're digging up Wolverine's body, killing time-traveling time variants, authority agents with it, multiverse hopping, killing a whole legion of Deadpool followers, fighting Professor X's twin sister who he tried to kill in the womb, going to avoid at the end of time, Deadpool fighting Wolverine, regenerative superheroes, healing powers, going through Doctor Strange, sling ring portals. This movie's bonkers, but I love it.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. It's what a multiverse movie should be, and I absolutely loved it. Should mention a couple people before we sign off here. And this this cameo was spoiled in the trailers, but Daphne Keane comes back as X-23.
Yep.
She makes me feel old. Holy fuck. She grew up. And even though Logan came out in 2017, I still feel like that's 2 years ago in my mind. But, like, she grew up. And I haven't seen her in anything since, like,
The Acolyte.
His Dark Material, which came out in Logan and The Acolyte, but she was all full of
makeup.
She's had a good year. To see her as a full-on adult now. Well, she's 19, but getting there. That's an adult. What am I saying? It was mind-boggling. It made me feel old. And that was another moment where I out loud was like, let's fucking go, is when she put on the glasses from Logan. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love how that's her costume. It's just whatever she's wearing and then the pink sunglasses.
Yeah. See, for me, the moment that her best moment that got me was when Jackman's Wolverine is down in the dumps and she tries to give him a bit of encouragement and he brushes her off and she says something to the effect of he's like, well, you know, I'm not the guy who can save the world. I'm not the right guy for it. And she's like, no, you're not the right guy until you were. Like, you were never the right guy until you were. Which is basically Wolverine in a nutshell. And just a really good message in general. You're not the right, it's not the right time until it is to be important or matter.
I like that. And I love how serious he was getting out of the trunk of the car.
Yeah.
With that first superhero lineup. That really like got me in my soul about seeing the Fox characters like line up.
Yeah.
In that one.
I know.
And just like, oh my God.
I'm seeing Gambit,
Elektra, Blade.
I know.
Wolverine, Deadpool. It just boggled my mind.
This is the Fox universe that could have been. That's what I love about this movie. It's the wish fulfillment of our generation of superhero fans. Like, why could this never have been a thing pre-Avengers? This could have happened 15 years ago.
It's absolutely, it was great that we got to see it though. And it's what could have been.
Well, actually that reminds me, I want to circle back to a point we made earlier on about the Fox universe and about Deadpool, being excited to leave it at the start, which I thought that was, a good way to get into the fans' mindset as well. Because when the TVA, Paradox, first invites Deadpool to come to the MCU, he's ecstatic. He turns to the camera and he's like, "I'm going to Disneyland. Suck it, Fox. Like, I'm done. I'm done with this crappy universe." And then Paradox is like, "Okay, well, the only caveat to you coming to me is your universe needs to be destroyed." And then he starts getting nostalgic and he's like, no, I can't let that happen, which I really like, because as fans, that's our initial reaction too. Yeah, of course. Let the Fox universe die and then take Deadpool, one of the most consistently good parts of that universe. Bring him into the MCU. It seems like a no-brainer, but that means letting the Fox universe die. And maybe there was more good in there than we remember. Do we want to kill it so brutally? for no reason. It's like he's saying to Paradox, like, the universe is dying, but it's not dead yet, so why are you just obliterating it for no reason? And Paradox is like, well, because yeah. I feel like it, basically. And that, mm-hmm. once again, it works in a metatextual sense, too. Like, the universe doesn't have to be dead. Why do you want to cut it off so abruptly just because Disney bought Fox and they don't need to continue with it? This movie is basically just saying, yeah, the Fox universe is still alive in the multiverse. It's doing its mm-hmm. own thing. Its characters are still living their lives. And, oh, they actually got a happy ending now that they saved reality. Yeah. It ended.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. It took me a while to sort of understand what Paradox, like, the character was and his motivations. When it really just took me to realize, oh, he's just a meta villain. He's just so meta. He's just the representation of just Hollywood and just trying to, like, kill off this universe as quickly as possible. Like, yeah, it's slowly dying, but we got to get out of here, jump fast. But no, there's good things in it. A lot of good things, or things that could have been. So that took me a while to fully understand because of just how meta it was.
But it's a good message for fan bases to hear as well. Like, yeah, just because this universe had a lot of problems in it, does it deserve to be relegated to, you know, the void at the end of the universe where everything about it's just obliterated forever? Like, no, there was a lot of good things in there that maybe deserved a second chance or just to be seen one last time. It makes me sad, even though a lot of it was mediocre. But it's just, okay, you don't write off the entirety of a 20-year running franchise abruptly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a great love letter. How'd you feel about Emma Corrin as Cassandra Nova?
Thinly written villain, great performance. She's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought, and I've been a fan of Emma since they were in The Crown when they played Princess Diana. The younger version. So right. I've been a huge fan of Emma since then. So when I saw that they were in this movie, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And yeah, pretty kind of like one note, like over the top villain. I'm crazy. I was ripped from the womb of my brother who was all good. And I'm all, but I thought they had the most fun. Like, weirdly enough, I know Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman had a lot of fun, but I feel like Emma really drove into the I'm insane. Emma does great, like, facial acting as well and reactions. Oh, yeah. I liked Cassandra Nova, even though, like, her ending was kind of abrupt, but, or just like her Cassandra's, like, motivations just weirdly changed at the end for me a little bit.
She was actually an intimidating villain just because she was so powerful and unpredictable. And you're like,
what? The flesh off of Johnny Storm.
Just with a,
that
just
was with a crazy
snap. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I
and
guess
then
your thing is you're just trying to consolidate
power. I started giggling when it was like her finger in Wolverine's head, but Deadpool had the Juggernaut helmet on her, and I was like, giggled to myself. I'm like, this is so stupid. I'm having so much fun watching this. It's,
I know,
Deadpool Wolverine having Juggernaut's helmet onto this all powerful being. Like, I'm watching this, I'm not reading it. It's that part was crazy.
I also loved when she tried to do it to Pyro, and Pyro's like, I can just tell you, why don't you ask sometimes? Just
ask. Jesus.
don't do the finger thing.
Which is funny because Cassandra looked movie. Really disappointed. She was just kind of like, oh.
what was that guy's name? Aaron Stanford. He was great as Pyro in this movie. Great, great henchman character.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Kelly Hugh came back as Lady Deathstrike, even though she didn't really
that was
get
cool.
that much screen time.
Neither did anyone from the first Deadpool cast, really, which was disappointing.
No.
I mean, I wanted to see more of like,
that's the one Morena Baccarin, gripe I have with this movie. Yeah, that's the one gripe I have is like, why do they have to be broken up? Like, the first two movies are about them, like, their love for each other and how much they care about each other. And in this movie, they're broken up because he lost purpose. Like, I get it,
yeah,
but I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, he had to have
a reason.
It's
not that it wasn't explained well, but...
I think it's just that thing.
Well, but, like, I just don't like it.
Yeah, I think it's just that thing that people say about D&D adventurers, too. Happy, well-adjusted people don't end up on adventures like this. So if he was with Vanessa, completely content, he probably wouldn't be Deadpooling in the same way.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure
got together, back together in the end. I think
that was the impression that I got for sure.
Yeah.
I did want to see more of her though. I think Blind Al was the only one who got as much of a role as before, if anything.
You call her Blind Al. That was a good joke.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman's a great straight man in this movie.
Yeah. It's so good.
Did Colossus even get a line?
Talk about? No, I don't think so. I don't think Colossus got a line. But I want to talk about the box office real quick because we're recording this on the Monday of the weekend it just came out. Am I saying that right? Whatever.
It came out Friday and it's Monday.
So domestically, it's made $211 million. That's domestic, but worldwide. It's $444 million, so just under half $1 billion. And this is 3 days into it being out. So this movie's definitely making $1 billion. Do you think, though, it's going to get the No Way Home treatment, where like people were so hot on No Way Home because of all the cameos and stuff and whatever, but then like 3 months later, there were some people who were like really criticizing it for being so fan servicey? Or do you think this will be treated differently?
I don't think it's going to take 3 months for that to happen. Look, I think there's different levels to these things. I think the way we're set up as a culture now, literally anything that comes out, whatever the reaction is to it, there'll be an opposite and equally strong reaction in a very short amount of time. So right now, the initial reaction is people love this movie. Deadpool and Wolverine is a great, super fun movie. And I'm going to bet within less than a week, you're going to see very strong opinions already calling it overrated or trying to harp really strongly on the fact that the plot isn't really that well structured or the inconsistencies in it or whatever, just try to tear down a fun thing with actual criticism, which I got no problem with. We are critics here, but this isn't necessarily the kind of movie you want to apply that critical lens to, because it's just there for fun, and it was fun. Like, it's not the kind of movie asking for it, but people are gonna make it a thing. I think when it comes to different movies, it all really just depends how many of that section of the audience gets any traction. I think with Far From Home, enough people did that it started spoiling the memories of people who did enjoy it. That initial reaction faded off and people remember the criticisms of Far From Home more. But I think this one will be a little bit, I don't want to say bulletproof, but it'll regenerate faster from the hits than Far From Home did.
Nice one.
That's my
take
on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it won't be as reversed as No Way Home was, especially
No Way Home.
I feel like in recent years. But I definitely believe there'll be some people who will criticize it, but then they will be heavily more ignored than people who really love No Way Home. Because I just feel like it's a different type of, because they're both multiverse movies, but they, to me, they are widely different. Where I think No Way Home they're trying to take it as seriously, or and more seriously, but not super serious.
Yes.
But with this one, they're really not trying to. So I feel like that's the main difference.
And that's what I was saying earlier is No Way Home is inviting us to take it more seriously. And once you do that, you're opening up the floodgates to, okay, you want me to take you seriously? You want me to be an actual critic for this one? Okay, brace yourself. Deadpool and
Sometimes
Wolverine.
Sometimes all you need is two silly characters, one of them shirtless, wearing a mask, holding hands together to Like a Prayer by Madonna for a final act. That's all you need.
This is the ideal superhero to movie to me. It's, once again, it's two great actors, great soundtrack, colorful costumes, which personally pays off a 20-year-old joke from the original X-Men. Like, well, what's, do we really have to do the black leather? What would you prefer, yellow spandex? Now they're doing that unabashedly. so we're just in bright red and yellow spandex and going to Madonna songs, like you said, and just fourth wall breaking jokes. We're digging up the corpse of Wolverine in scene one and time traveling and multiverse hopping. But unlike other ones that ask us to take these things seriously, we don't care. Multiverse of Madness asked us to take this premise more seriously, and it fell on its face because it, like, okay, you want us to take multiverse hopping seriously? Okay, you want to do it like Deadpool and Wolverine? All right, it's ridiculous, but we're just having fun with it, so let's go, all right?
Yeah.
And that's when it's better.
Where would you... Yeah, that's why it is better, because it's not trying to take it so too seriously.
It knows it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous concept. The opening scene is, again, him beating up time-traveling cops with the corpse of Logan to the soundtrack of Bye Bye Bye. You write that on paper, makes no sense. But you're watching in the theater and you're just like bopping along to NSYNC.
This is what I'm watching.
Ridiculous fun.
Yeah. And that's all a superhero movie needs to be. I mean, I don't want every superhero movie to be like this. I do like the more serious ones sometimes. But, you know, comic book characters at their core are ridiculous. They dress up in bright costumes, have a lot of black and white morality. They do crazy things. And it's kind of a comforting space. It's a simple world, even if crazy things are happening. And I think comic book movies have gotten away from that. It's kind of a balance. At first, they were too afraid to even touch that stuff with a 10-foot pole. They tried to be way too serious and play to teenagers and adults. And now a lot of movies are going so far the other way. They're still trying to have serious stories, but they're just ridiculous because they, like, the stories are too serious for the subject matter. And Deadpool and Wolverine's the good balance of, like, okay, these characters have an inner struggle and I get that, and the acting is conveying it, and, like, there is some good inspiring themes in here about redemption and your own worthiness and what kind of things do we actually fight for. Deadpool's like, well, I'm just a mercenary who hurts people for money, but when my universe is on the line, I still want to save it because my family lives in there. And, you know, and Wolverine has his come around moment where he's facing the bad guy and he could kill her, but he's like, you know, no, even though I failed, Charles Xavier would not have wanted me to do this. I'm wearing the suit because it represents something better than myself, bigger, and I want to live up to the X-Men ideal, even though I've let it down. And simple themes, but effective in execution. You don't need a lot. They put a little bit in there and they did it well. So, yes, I got off the point, but I do think it'll be more fondly remembered than No Way Home in the grand scheme. It's more rewatchable, 100%. I've heard people say you rewatch No Way Home, and there's basically just, like, pauses.
There's gaps.
Where you, yeah, there's gaps where you expect the whoa. Not yeah, so much in this
very
movie.
Very noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was shocked in this movie how unceremoniously they reintroduced Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
If I recall, the first introduction to him was his comic accurate Wolverine off the bar. I think that was the first one.
I know it was one of like the weird multiverse ones. I don't know if it was the...
Or was the first one...
Are you talking about the brown suit?
The brown suit may have been the first one.
I think it was the one where he's... when he's got the missing hand. I could be right. It was kind of a compilation of them.
Well, my point is, we can't even remember the one that was his reintroduction. So it was relatively uncertain. That whole montage was the reintroduction, which is great. But there wasn't a single, and the music swells as he steps out of the shadows, chomping a cigar, and... Hi, bub. Whatever. Just...
Yeah.
Or like...
I love this movie. I definitely will watch it again. I think it's a ton of fun. Obviously, plot contrivances or stuff that's too exposition-y, it all don't matter. It's a ton of fun. Everybody should watch it. Where would you put this in, like, your Marvel movies? Because for me, it's up there. Like... Not like my favorites of favorites, but it's around the top 10-ish, I would say.
Let's see. Let me pull up my list of favorite Marvel movies just as a quick...
And this could also just be recency bias for me.
It's probably recency bias. Ooh, that's way higher up than it should be. Okay. All right. I got to retool my list 100%. My opinions have indeed changed. Well, it's above Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I'll tell you that. That's
good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that one's at the bottom of my list. So at this time, my top 10 is Spider-Man Homecoming. No Way Home, I did have it number 9, but that was maybe just recency bias at the time. Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians 2, Guardians 3, Iron Man, Infinity War, Thor Ragnarok, Winter Soldier, First Avenger. That's my top 10. I feel like it's definitely top 15. I think I like it better than any... But do I like it better than... I just don't know what it would bump. But yes, it's in my top half. It's definitely in the upper echelon top half. I think it's got the best intro in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's got a top 3 post-credit scene in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That I can rank very high.
It's got a top promotion in the Marvel Universe. I've been seeing it everywhere in the city of Toronto.
Probably the top.
Yeah, it's absolutely
insane. I think that's why it's doing as well as it does, because Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman have been promoting it like crazy. The promotional campaigns for the Deadpool movies are always extraordinary. They're just everywhere in everything. Like, even just today, the movie's already out, and I saw a Deadpool ad for Tim Hortons.
Really? I haven't seen that one yet. That's awesome.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is just... He has a Tim Hortons thing, and he's talking about now that I'm done with Ryan Reynolds, he can go back to Canada.
That's funny.
He's playing Deadpool. Really good. Yeah. Anyway, that's Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't believe I've got any more thoughts on this one. Yeah. The nice pool jokes were kind of thin. Those ones wore out their welcome first.
Went a little too long. And then he got ripped to shreds, but it's okay. He was only in 2 scenes, so I let it slide.
I think the funniest bits was when he looked to the camera. I can do that too. The proposal. Is that what you think I do?
That was really funny.
Yeah. Okay. That.
I do have a quick question of the week.
Oh, okay.
If you want to do that real quick.
Sure.
With the recent reveal of Dr. Doom being Robert Downey Jr., aka probably variant Tony Stark.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts? And why are those thoughts? What the fuck are they doing?
Okay, well.
Okay, look, let me preface this by saying they kind of needed to get a big name actor to bring the big bucks. They got in, like, this is the guy who, like, helped sell the Marvel Universe for the first 10 years. But also, it's like, you haven't even done Victor Von Doom right before. So, like, to do, and I know there's comic versions where Iron Man has been Dr. Doom or Dr. Doom has been Iron Man and vice versa. Like, there's been those types of stories. But just, like, to have it be, and maybe it's just because I'm so sick of multiverse at this point, but it's, like, to be, and again, this is just initial thoughts. We haven't even seen the movie. We don't know what it's going to be, how Robert Downey Jr. is going to do in, like, a villain role. But my initial thought was just kind of like, really? Like, I don't know. It was I'm kind of in between at the moment, but my first thought was like, not really that happy about it.
Okay. My first most objective thought on the matter is Robert Downey Jr. is a great actor and will elevate whatever material he's given as Victor Von Doom. I can say that with confidence. Everything else, I'm still on the fence about. Hiring him specifically as Victor Von Doom, once again, that's not my problem. We've seen many instances, even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where an actor plays multiple characters. We've just never seen one this high profile before. It's concerning. I know he hasn't been 100% confirmed as a Tony Stark variant, but in this multiverse thing, of course, that's what they're going to do, because why would you hire an actor of that high a caliber in this franchise too if you weren't going to do something like that? My only hope is that they don't lean too far into the Tony Stark variant thing. It can just be an excuse for Victor Von Doom to have that face, and I will be fine with it if that's all it is. If he's just actually playing Victor Von Doom, who was biologically the same guy as Tony Stark, all right. Yeah, there's a few ways this could go. I just want to see him be the evil villainous personality Victor Von Doom is. I don't want to see Robert Downey Jr. play a conflicted anti-hero, misunderstood villain with a redemption arc. I don't want any of that. I don't want people to be like, oh, I know you, Tony Stark. You're a good man. Look at the thing. Proof that Tony Stark has a heart. That's you, too. I don't want that. I want heartless. I want this to be everything Tony Stark buried in his life. All the impulses that we saw in all the other movies where his most controlling, obsessive, self-destructive tendencies in one villain that's lashing out against the world. Give me that guy. Irredeemable. And I'll be fine.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, again, we haven't seen anything yet, but Robert Downey Jr. is a great actor. So whatever he does with it, I'm sure he'll be good with it. Plot-wise, who knows? Russo brothers are back. I forgot to tie that in, but that kind of just makes sense because, you know, they did the last two Avengers movies.
Now I'm less excited.
Yeah.
Russo Brothers are good. They're good, but I'm not... I don't love their style for these. They were good for Captain America. I enjoyed Winter Soldier. I enjoyed Civil War less so. I loved Infinity War. And Endgame is... It's hit and miss. So, like... I'm kind of mid on two of their movies, and I love two of them. I don't want to see them do another Avengers movie. If they had a smaller movie again, I'd be more interested.
Well, don't worry, because they're doing two. So, Doomsday and Secret Wars.
Oh, man. Is there nobody else in Hollywood?
No. I hate to tell you, Joe. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. Weirdly, I don't know why, even though there was like barely any promotion shown or that's on the internet. I know a trailer, like a half-assed trailer was released at Comic-Con, but every time someone posts clips about it, it gets taken down for the new Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, really?
So I'm excited for that, especially since I've heard it's like, it's set in the 60s, but it's a different universe. So it's like a retro futuristic 60s. And I've always been a fan of that style of world. So
is this going to be a multiverse story, or is the MCU just like that in the 60s? I guess it's a retro future. I guess it's a multiverse story.
It's a retro. It's a different universe from what I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's a good cast, at least.
I don't think they did any television stuff. I mean, they're doing Agatha and Daredevil still, but they didn't like announce any new TV shows, so. They're leaving that to Star Wars. Anyway.
I don't think they're even doing much with Star Wars on TV. Plus is realized they spent way too much money for too few returns on big budget TV the last few years. The last 5 years, really. Out of all the shows you've seen, maybe only a couple have actually been worthy enough for success. The Mandalorian, Ahsoka might get a season two. The Acolyte might get a season two. Andor's getting a season two. I don't think any of the Marvel show, Loki got a season two. But most of these other, but most of these Marvel shows and Star Wars shows are just a lot of money for very little comparatively returns.
Yeah.
I think they're sick of it. And they're not really critical darlings either.
Yeah.
Most of them are just okay at best, if not outright bad.
Yeah.
That said, if they did give She-Hulk a season two, I wouldn't be mad. I know we talked It's canceled? Okay.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Because I know we talked a lot of crap about it at the time, but if they did it again, I would watch it. Because... it's funny in retrospect.
I didn't like She-Hulk except for the final episode. I thought that was well done.
I remember the good parts of it in retrospect, and I did like the good parts of it. It could have, like, that's one that actually could have been a decent TV series.
Yeah.
Anyway, Deadpool and Wolverine, must see. Go see it.
Go. All right. Well, you can find me at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram.
And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Play Media. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next Close Up with Ryan and Joe, where we give you our regular leisure lists. Till next time.
Take care.